Want something to listen to while playing Minecraft? Why not try an audiobook from Audible? Listeners of our show will get one free book of your choice when you sign up for a 14-day trial. Go to audibletrial.com/theshaft.
The Shaft and Lethal Drive have teamed up to bring you the best Minecraft SMP experience in the world with lightning-fast custom control panels, expert support and sales team, all from an approved host of MinecraftForum.net. LethalDrive.com, the cutting edge in game servers. Get yours today at LethalDrive.com/theshaft. And be sure to use the coupon code THESHAFT, all one word.
Can't sleep, gotta build. There's a ground that needs to be drilled. And all I wanna do is dig.
From the Dead Workers Party, a podcast about all things Minecraft. Enjoy your stay in the Shaft.
The Shaft, episode 82, recorded on May 15th, 2012. I'm Wes Wilson.
And I'm Eric Fullerton.
Something's wrong. There's something dreadfully wrong here.
Yeah, it's the lack of Brent Copeland. Yeah. But we do have Daniel Kaplan from Mojang.
Hello, sorry, I thought that there was actually something wrong.
Yeah. Usually there is with us.
We had a lot of problems with cameras and sound and stuff right before the show. But we're all good now. And And Daniel's here.
And Daniel, you do a lot of great stuff over there at Mojang, don't you?
I think so, yes.
Other people seem to think you do a lot of good stuff too, so.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. That's good to know.
So what exactly do you do? Why don't you tell the listeners exactly what your duties are?
I work a little bit like some kind of project manager and a business developer. Basically, it's about having the connection with companies like Google, Apple, and Microsoft, and communicate externally with those guys and channel the information internally to our teams. So I was the main contact organizing the XBLA with the 4J guys from Scotland with Microsoft. And I'm also the contact when we're working on the Minecraft Pocket Edition, like with Aaron. Aaron does all the legwork, so to say, but I help him out on design and the connection with Apple and Google.
So pretty much if there's something where the company is reaching out in a new direction, it's probably a trail that you have blazed and promoted to the company?
Yeah, a little bit like that.
Yeah. Okay.
So
okay.
It's kind of a fuzzy work, but I do some kind of work, I promise you that.
And you were with another company before this one that brought you into Mojang?
Yeah, that's right. My friends and I started a company called Ludosity after I graduated from the University of Hovda, where I studied computer game development, and I took a major in arts, which is pretty weird, but and I don't do any 3D art or animations at all at this time, which is okay. I have a pretty fun job now too, but I still miss it sometimes. But at least I do some project management, and I'm still very close to that.
Are you still a part owner of that company? Did you hold on to any of that? Did you let go of it?
I'm still part. I'm still a small owner in that company.
Excellent.
But I'm not that super active in it.
Okay. You're just there if they call you when they have emergencies?
Yeah, but it hasn't happened the last 2 years, so that's good.
Yeah. That's good.
So now you came on with Mojang pretty early, didn't you, comparatively?
Yeah, I started out in October 2010. Before it was actually official, which is pretty cool. Yeah, so I've been from the start with Marcus when the company was founded.
So Minecraft was already out at that time. Had you heard of Minecraft? Were you playing Minecraft before joining Mojang?
I had played it like a year before. I met Marcus during a gaming jam called No More Sweden, and I knew about Minecraft before I went there. and it was this small obscure game made by one guy. The year after that, everybody was talking about it. That was pretty cool to see the huge uprising, like, community in the Minecraft sphere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which was pretty weird. So I knew about it, like, in June 2009. And then the summer of 2010, everything just exploded.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, we were in fairly early. We were doing a show called Nation of Gamers and started talking about Minecraft. And Brent was just like, that sounds like a terrible game.
Yeah, yeah. And I tried it, too. Yeah. And I remember there was no mobs or nothing, really. I mean, it was just, it just felt like a tech demo of an engine. And it was pretty cool and unique, but I just didn't understand what all the fascination was about.
Yeah.
It just kept slowly growing on me, you know, and just like, and then it got me. And now I'm property of Minecraft. I don't know. It owns me.
Nice. That's good to know.
Yeah.
So
weird.
So do you still regularly play? Do you dig into it the way a lot of the fans are still digging into it, or has it turned into one of those, like, professional kind of things where it's my job, so I only do it when I'm working?
Well, I play it sometimes, but I don't play that super hardcore. The last year I have only played on the Xbox and try out different stuff and make sure that it works as intended.
Right.
So it has been more of a, like, you know, for a testing purpose rather than enjoyment, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's been testing out new features, making sure it works as intended, and
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're a little bit the same way. We've moved on to doing some of these YouTube Let's Plays, and that tends to be the focus of most of our week.
Yeah.
You know, I had a friend who was kind of picking on me, like, you know, hey, you know, I never see you on anymore. And I'm like, well, and I thought back and I'm like, I used to build things. I used to do stuff, you know. Was there something ever that you did in Minecraft that, like, you're very proud of? Like, something when you think back on your gameplay, you go, that's what defined it for me?
No, to be honest, no. I haven't built anything properly. I mean, I enjoy more the exploration part of Minecraft than building huge houses and structures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is what was appealing to me with Minecraft, that finding new stuff every day when you were just digging around.
Yeah.
So more about the Xbox version. Congrats on its success. It's the fastest selling XBLA game. And
thank you very much.
It's very, very exciting. And there's so much. I mean, the community was already huge, and now it's just huger. I mean, a lot of people don't play games on PC or Mac or anything, and it's, like, new to them. And I imagine a lot of these people were like, I keep hearing about Minecraft. I'm so glad now I can play it, you know. So how did that begin? Did you guys want to go to Xbox, or did they offer something, or how did that start?
I knew the business developer at Microsoft before, because in my prior company I tried to pitch a game to him, but it didn't work out that good. So when he knew that I started Mojang, they contacted us actually. And they showed interest in it, and we started talking with some other developers to find, you know, a great team that could work with us, because we didn't have the knowledge and know-how in-house. And we weren't, it took us quite a while if we should, like, do a game for the Xbox, because we were so PC-centric. Mm-hmm. And our focus was, you know, developing Minecraft. That was our goal at that time. But we were convinced that Xbox game would be pretty cool. And it was a huge, you know, it is pretty hard to develop something in a year and see the people's reaction. So I'm really happy that it is out right now, because it has taken us quite a lot of time to do it. And yeah, I'm pretty satisfied with the release. It is really good.
Yeah, that's cool. And I guess it had to be written from scratch too. It's not Java, so it's like,
yeah, exactly. So they had to do a lot of work to rewrite everything and make sure that it worked as the PC version, so people would get the same feeling. And yeah, they did a lot of work to make it work.
And mm-hmm. and this was all like contracted out.
Yeah, exactly. It was contracted out to a studio called Forge, and I was the one heading the project from us with their lead developer called Paddy Burns, a great programmer. So I was very confident in working with those guys because they were recommended by Microsoft, and Microsoft had made a couple of projects with them. They were the ones supporting. That ported, what was it called now? Perfect Dark, Xbox, from the Nintendo 64 to the Xbox.
Oh,
yeah. How do you do? They like, is there anything strange that ends up happening when you subcontract out? Like, are there any Easter eggs in there that are from the company? Like, you know what I mean? It seems kind of strange to take your hands off of something that you own and say you do it.
Yeah, exactly. It may feel strange, but I was, you know, heading over it all the time. So we had meetings every now and then and almost every day, basically. So we were talking a lot with each other to make sure that it happened in a way that we were satisfied in. So I think that is, like, you can't just outsource this and outsource stuff and think that it will be great. I think that you have to, you know, it's still your brand and you have to protect it and make the best of it.
Yeah.
I mean, so, like, if there is a Easter egg, you haven't found it yet, right?
Exactly. I don't know. If they have put in some Easter eggs, I really don't know. See.
So are we ever going to see Minecraft on PS3 or Wii, or is that exclusive to Xbox?
Yeah, it's exclusive to Xbox.
Okay.
Do we want to go into our sponsors real quick, and then we can ask some more questions in a second?
You know what? Since it's dinner time for Daniel, let's just do all of our Daniel stuff here, and then we'll just finish the show.
Okay.
Without him.
Okay, no problem.
How about that?
Okay.
Condensed Daniel Kaplan right here, right now.
Nice.
So, what is the craziest? I'm just going to throw a crazy question out there. What is the craziest thing that's happened in the office since you've worked there? And we see a lot of crazy stuff. We hear about stuff. We see live streams. But what would you think, or just one of the craziest things that has happened?
I think the craziest things that had happened is that when we ate lunch with the CEO of EA in our office, we ordered some takeaway food and sat down and just talked. And yeah, that was pretty weird and cool at the same time. I mean, EA is a super huge company, and I felt quite honored to, you know, that they took their time to actually be there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that was kind of pretty cool. And also, you maybe know Sean Parker.
Sean Parker.
Wait. Or I think it's his name, right? You know, Justin Timberlake in Network. What was it called? Social Network.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I think it's Sean Parker, right? Yeah, yeah. He was at our office too.
Wow.
He curses a lot, yeah.
Wow. So, yeah. Crazy.
So when you, I mean, at the same time, like, I'm sure that it was very honored, you were honored to meet the CEO of EA, but at the same time, I mean, I bet that he dreams his company could print money the way that yours has. did you see that kind of, like, I mean, I'm sure that he was looking back at you guys with the same kind of admiration for being able to tap into something so core and make it happen. Did he comment on that at all?
Yeah, I mean, they were super, what is it called? Excited about our business and see how efficient we were with the resources we had. I mean, we are like 16, 17 people in office. And at that time, we were only like 10.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe they learned something, I don't know, but I think they were pretty impressed by the stuff that we managed to do with such small resources.
Do you think that there's something that these big companies can take away from this experience? Or do you think that that your success is more of a indie studio passionate kind of thing that is only going to be reproduced in with smaller numbers of people involved?
I think it's pretty hard for a company like EA to do something that Marcus did, because they have such a huge legacy of, you know, bringing huge games to the table and a much more polished experience. I mean, if EA would release a game like Minecraft in the alpha stages, they would get like tons of hate mail, I would assume. because it's so buggy, it doesn't work, what is this, super low res and weird. But we are trying, you know, we are still a bunch of guys that have great fun in the office. And I think that a lot of R&D is the key to success. Like, just release games. I mean, it's just games. Who cares?
Yeah.
You don't need to be that serious to do a game.
Yeah.
I'm not... I mean, I think it's pretty cool, you know, with Battlefield 3 and all that, like a super huge release. But it's a bit scary when you have put in like hundreds of millions of dollars in a game and then you don't know how it will end.
Yeah.
After release. So it's a bit scary to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It all seems a bit organic how these things happen. And that would be horrible. Big deals or big collaborations with other companies or something that that didn't quite work out that you could talk about?
I mean, we made the socks with Happy Socks.
Oh yeah,
They sold out pretty fast in Europe, but people didn't seem to like them in the U.S.
Really?
Yeah, but we sold out there eventually too. But it took some extra time. I guess it's people, you know, seeing that you could buy like 10 pairs of socks for $10 at Walmart or something like that, and then you see these super branded designer socks for $30, and that seems to be pretty hard for them. And it was only 3 pairs, but I thought it was a pretty cool product. But I guess you're not that into socks fashion.
Designer socks.
Yeah. Makes like you wonder. Huh. Interesting.
Well, we are a bit of a fast food culture. We tend to like certain things that are expensive and then everything else to be super cheap.
Yeah, I guess.
That is like, I mean, it still went good, that deal, but that was the only one that didn't really take off in the US compared to the other stuff.
Now, I did an interview with Luke Peterschmidt of Fun211, who was doing the Dicecraft game, and he said you guys are working with another company to put out a board game for Minecraft. What do you have any information you can share on that?
I really don't know, to be honest.
Okay.
I know that I remember the Dicecraft game, but we weren't super sure about, you know, creating tabletop game of Minecraft. It
right.
seems weird, and even though socks are pretty weird, but it is something. I mean, the tabletop game would be a game eventually, and
yeah,
it would just feel like we would slap our name on it, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's like a board game. It's not like an RPG or something. That would be even weirder, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you're raiding a cave or something. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have a clue. I mean, maybe a board game would be a super great idea, but it didn't make sense at that time, at least. So
we did get some comments from some of our input sources. They wanted to talk about Garden Gnome Carnage.
Oh yeah.
Oh really?
Yes. Yes. And we wanted to talk about it too. Where did you get the idea for this game?
It wasn't me who developed it, but I hired the guy who did it back in my old company. The guy who did it was called Daniel Remar, and he also did a couple of really other cool games called EG and Hero Core, and also Super Princess Peach. You should all try them out.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
Yeah. But the guy, I know that, I mean, he did it when we were still at university. I knew him from the university time. And they just sat down in a room, I think, and just brainstorm the weirdest stuff they could came up with, and they just put in all the ideas in a game, and that is what happened. A rolling house with a gnome on top.
On a bungee cord.
Yeah, the bungee cord is weird.
Exactly, yeah. It is pretty weird. But then after 1 year, I think, at Ludosity, my company that I founded with some university friends, I hired Daniel Rimmer to actually do a flash port because I thought the game was so great and I wanted more people to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I think it got like more than 6-7 million plays.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of people that play that game. And I'm super proud of it. I've been working with Daniel Rimmer because he's a genius in game mechanics, like core game mechanics. He's really great.
There's a lot of people who say that the flash game genre is like the most capitalistic, you know, like competitive, you know, true gaming creative experience around. Has Mojang ever thought about like, are y'all solely in the we're going to produce a packaged downloadable product, or have y'all pondered doing some stuff, some flash stuff?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we will create a client for scrolls in Flash or something like that. You know, to maybe you could create your decks online in Flash or something like that. Because we're developing a super thin client for scrolls. So all the matches are verified on our servers and they are played on the server side. So the client just renders what the server tells you. So it shouldn't be that super hard to create a Flash client, but I can't promise anything, but
yeah,
I mean, it would be really good if we could have like a proper web client too, because I think it would help a lot of people just trying out the game, or at least put some parts in the web.
And it's going to be very smartphone compatible, Scrolls is, and
that is the plan, yeah. It should be working really good on tablets and stuff like that too.
Okay.
So we have taken that in consideration. But it will start out on PC and Mac first, and then,
right.
Yeah. It will have a huge, long beta session.
Well, you know, we'd hate to take place and take part in that. Don't feel like you should invite us or anything.
Okay. I get the hints, yeah. No problem. I'll put you up on the list.
So is there anything that's in Minecraft proper that like was your idea? Is there something in there that you feel like is there because of you, and when you see it you kind of smile on the inside?
I did a lot of design work on Minecraft Pocket Edition with Aaron, and we redesigned the whole crafting interface. So it started out with my idea, like having like super fast crafting, because trying to, you know, focus the game session to the platform. And I know that you on a phone are very, you can very easily switch to different tasks on a phone. So we had to make it as efficient as possible to make the player feel that they have achieved something during their gaming session. So I redesigned the whole crafting system and made it more efficient and helpful, I think. So I'm really proud of the crafting for the Minecraft iOS.
What were some of the difficulties? I know that a lot of Minecraft players were saying, you know, I can't get the Pocket Edition because it doesn't feel as organic as the PC version. What were some of the hurdles you guys faced there in trying to create that?
I think that, I mean, we have to create the best experience for the platform and somewhat take in consideration the legacy of the already Minecraft fans. I mean, I don't know if it's so fun to do the same thing like over and over again. So we try to create something different and something that is solid for the platform. I mean, we could just replicate Minecraft for PC, but it wouldn't work out really good, I think. That is why we started to examine like redesigning the whole crafting user interface, and you really don't have like a web browser next to you when you're playing there either, and it would be really annoying to tab in and tab out of the app that you're working on is busy with. So that is one of the reasons that I felt that we should definitely redesign this to make this as a solid experience as possible. But of course, we got some backfire on it, but as a whole, all the users seems to be very happy with the new crafting.
Cool. Is there something that you still want to add to the game itself?
In Pocket Edition?
In general, I guess, in the brand.
In Minecraft, I would definitely want to make that people could play multiplayer much more easier, and that is something that we're working on right now. So I had it as a goal when I started at Mojang to actually make sure that people could start a multiplayer server much more easier. But it has taken some time, and it's a bit of a boring work for the developers, but I think it's the best for the community.
Oh, yeah.
So they can connect much more easier to each other without reading a 10-page of Wikipedia tutorial.
Right.
To set up a server and open up ports in your firewall and whatnot.
Yeah, command lines.
So we do have some questions from the chat room. Someone named Minecraft Chick says, "Why is Kaplan so awesome?"
Yeah.
Can you answer that question?
I think it's, you know, being... Yeah, probably because I'm from Sweden.
Oh, is that it? It's not your magical beard powers?
Maybe that too. I mean, this is just one day of beard. No, but okay, I'm joking. It's just like 1 week of beard, but it's still very thick. Yeah.
So Xcylinder wants to know when the guided tours are going to start of Mojang and when they can come are they going to put you all behind glass walls and treat you like zoo
animals?
Don't
feed the Mojangsters.
They like freaking... Yeah, like a rodeo show or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe when we are bored creating games or something like that. Can just throw stones at us or something like that.
Yeah.
Tours in our office.
Astragali wants to know, and actually the chat room just scrolled on me like crazy. Astragali, the Minecraft scribe, wants to know, when is Scrolls coming out? And I think there's some foot stamping involved in that.
Stamping, okay. We're actually going to let some friends try out Scrolls, hopefully this week or next week. So we're going to do a really, really, really early, super small alpha. Just to make sure that servers are able to handle like external IP numbers and players and that they understand the gaming rules and systems. I mean, we have had testers in-house, but it's quite different when you're sending out the game to people outside of the office and they don't have super control of what they're doing. So I guess we'll get a lot of feedback and then hopefully we'll roll out a more open alpha, so to say.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to that, but I don't think it's much time, a lot of work left to do before we can ship out an open alpha.
Then we have Polly, who wants to know if there is ever going to be a Mojang game client for all the games.
We have done a lot of talking about that, but we're not sure exactly if it would make sense. I mean, a lot of people just knows us for Minecraft, but we're looking to do like some kind of cross promoting in between the games and stuff like that. I'm not sure exactly if we will do like just one launcher for all the games, but it would be pretty sweet. But we will probably try out tons of different stuff and see what makes sense and what doesn't.
And although this would normally go in the excavation station section, someone in the chat room has been very insistent and has repeated the question at least 10 times. Are we ever going to get corner stairs?
Corner stairs?
Yes.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, I don't need... That's
corner stairs.
Yeah.
I don't know. You have to buzz Jib about that, hunting him down on Twitter, I guess.
Yes. And then that Alice wants to know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how awesome are you?
According to my fiance, it's a 10.
Excellent.
Nice.
And sometimes 11.
Yeah.
So, Chromie, and I'm sure everybody here in the chat room wants to know, what is in your pockets?
Right now, yes. they're pretty empty.
Oh, empty.
I usually have my phone, but I'm so addicted to my phone. It's ridiculous. I hold it all the time in my hand and check Twitter all the time. I try to respond to as many as possible, but yeah.
James,
I'm really addicted to it.
James wants to know if there's a timetable for the mod API.
We have one internally, but we're not super sure about the timetable there. I mean, I want to get something out as soon as possible, but it just takes a lot of time, and we have to rewrite big parts of Minecraft to make sure that it's much more easier to maintain in the future. And that is what we're working on right now, like rewriting parts of Minecraft to make sure that it's much more easier to use an API on our core code, so to say.
So you brought in the Bucket team. Are they jerks? Do you hate them all?
they're a great bunch of guys. but it's pretty hard working in different time zones and all. But it works. It works okay.
So is there any like dirt you want to spread on your fellow coworkers so that they have to come on the show and debunk what you have said about them?
Yeah, that guy Tobias Molstam is just a pain in the ass.
He was rowdy.
He's the cockiest guy in the office.
I know. And oh Lord, the curse words were flying. He was a foul-mouthed fiend on the show.
Yeah, he's a madman.
I just got a bunch of new hits for that episode, by the way. Did you catch that?
That's good.
Someone else in the chat room was wondering if there's any particular like adventure maps or mods or anything that appeal to you, something that caught your eye as you thought was a really creative use of your creation.
I'm a huge fan of Zelda. And I have to say, I've only watched it on YouTube. I haven't played them myself, but I've seen a couple of Zelda adventure maps, and they look pretty cool. So I would say the Zelda maps. I haven't played them myself, unfortunately, because I'm just sitting in the office and testing a lot of different stuff. So not so much time to just, you know, play.
So you say you were an explorer when you played the game. Is there anything like from the like generator, the landscape generator that you've really thought was the best addition, considering?
Definitely the cave system. I mean, that is pretty rad. And also, you know, when we changed the the biomes to be much more bigger, mm-hmm. it felt that you become a much more smaller guy in a huger world. And I just like, you know, sailing around in the boat and just looking in the landscape and find different kind of weird shapes that the generator has.
Yes.
Created.
That's always a fun thing with me as well. I mean, like when you find that mountain range that has the, you know, the cool, like you've got a good natural bridge that you can fly through, and then I don't know. Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
So, do we want to move on a little bit now, Daniel, we'd love to have you for the rest of the show, but it is dinner time, and if you need to go, you're welcome to it, and we will continue to cover our things, but of course we'd love to have you around for the rest of the show, but it's up to you.
Unfortunately, I have to run. Okay. My fiance is waiting.
Well, be sure to thank your fiance for your kindness, and
I will.
Talk some other Mojangs just to come on the show. You know, we
I will definitely try that.
We love having you guys on. And
someone in particular you were thinking of?
Well, there's this guy. One guy. His name is Person.
Person.
That guy.
We would love to talk to Jeb too. You know.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk with them and see what they think of it.
Yeah,
cool.
I know Marcus is pretty busy.
Yeah,
but I will talk with Jens and see what he thinks.
Do you know I sent Marcus an email around the Shaft episode 9 and said, I mean, this was in what, November of 2010.
Yeah,
and I said, hey, let's form a bond here. Let me help promote your product.
Yeah,
but I never heard from him.
You wanted a cut of sales.
Well, Daniel, thank you for joining us, and we hope to talk to you again sometime, and hopefully we'll see you at some upcoming events at some point in time.
So, yeah. Take care, guys, and thanks for your time.
Oh, alrighty. No problem. Enjoy dinner.
See
thank you.
You.
Bye-bye. Have a great day.
Okay.
You too.
So let's talk about some of our sponsors.
Okay.
First off, we have, and all these people have donated to the show. They took their money and put it up to have their name sponsor the show and help support everything that we're doing. The first one is Exilinder, and she said, do you want to do it or do you want me to?
She said, let me get it here. Bring back CP, please. I'll give you $10.
In addition to the $10? Oh, wow. Okay. So the next sponsor is Eric Fullerton, and Eric Fullerton says,
Psychotic Minx is a boss. Is a boss.
Did somebody just put your name down?
Yes, I think so.
And next we have Crommy, who says, it's hard to type a message on my phone. See, that's dedication. Sponsoring the show from your phone.
Yeah.
That's hardcore.
Good stuff. And then the next one is from Brashiet Cub.
B-Cub in the house.
Brashiet Cub. He says,
it's hard work raising Eric's baby all by myself.
A lot of stuff about me in here.
Well, it's you weird. Know, you are a deadbeat dad.
Yes.
Of some kind.
Yeah.
Or something.
I'm sorry. I should be there more often and help you out.
Next, we have AZ Crafters, who said,
shout out to Fight to Build for winning the $100 spleef tourney.
Yay!
And that's pretty cool. I watched those. Those are on YouTube right now.
Oh, I haven't watched them yet.
So, yeah.
That's
so check
very
it
cool.
out.
Congrats. And then our last one, and this is a corporate sponsorship. He's done this for several weeks. It's from The Lord Bones. And you need to go to youtube.com/TheLordBones for weekly Minecraft videos. Currently, it's the finale for The Fall of Gondolin, and their next map is Blighted Maidens.
Blighted Maidens? Yeah. I haven't heard of that one.
I know. It sounds really serious.
Yeah, it does.
So yeah, go to youtube.com/TheLordBones.
Excellent.
Our journey. So you did some stuff this week. I did not do anything in Minecraft this week.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I played Alpha versus Beta, which is the map we've been talking about. We talked about it last week, and maybe the one before. I don't remember. But it's by Fuami? Fuami.
I don't think... Is it Faume? I think it's Faume.
Is it Faume?
Yeah.
I think so. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Fuego.
Yes.
It's from Fuego.
But yeah, it was it's a Faume. Faume? Anyway. great map. It's basically like Arathi Basin if you play WoW. But it's a tower based you flip a switch and you stand on a little pressure plate and you wait for the tower to become your color. So, you know, it's like red versus blue. So you take over these towers and you stand there long enough and it turns blue. And then on the side of the mountain, because you're in a little battleground area,
yeah.
On the side of the mountain, so you can see visibly like a little map. And it has a map of the area and then it has red dots or blue dots depending on what towers have been captured.
Oh, wow.
It's really crazy. I mean, it's really well done. And there's a scoreboard as well, so you can see when it's counting up. Basically, it counts, from what I understand, it counts up depending on how many of your towers are being captured. So blue and red both have a point value, just like the actual Arathi Basin game. And it's really impressive.
So there's some huge redstone computer under the whole thing?
Yes, definitely.
That's awesome.
And you can choose a class, too. There's a lot of classes. There's healers. There's a ranged. There's a tank, like a warrior class.
Wow.
There's all these classes, and you're basically in a spawn area. So you when you spawn, you go and create your class.
Yeah.
And then you right click the sign, which puts a wool block on your head, depending on what color you are. So I'm running around. Everybody, you know, is running around with a wool block on their head, which is great because you can tell who's on whose side. Yeah. You know. Anyway, a lot of fun, really cool. There was a couple matches this week, I think. I missed them all except for one, Friday night. It was good.
Well, I was going to come and join, but this weekend we had the pre-POC meeting, that I had to go down to. For those who don't know, POC is Play On Con. It's a big convention, I throw down in Birmingham in the summertime this year,
and you guys need to go.
Yes,
because it's awesome.
It's going to be the last week of July, the last weekend of July, the 27th through the 31st, I believe. Mm-hmm. I'll be down there during my birthday, and we're trying to get a lot of the Minecraft people to go. I know Joe Hills will be there. Wolf21's talking about going. We're trying to get Paul Soares down. Trying to get Bitburner there. So we're gonna have a lot of Minecraft stuff going on. But we had a little pre-meeting at the hotel this weekend to, you know, just talk about things that are going on. That kind of took me out of pocket. I also got invited once again to play Dwarves versus Zombies, but wasn't able to join in on that.
So, Dwarfs.
Yeah, Dwarfs.
Dwarfs.
And then, of course, last night was the Diablo release, and that is the giant black hole of gaming for this month.
Oh, man, yeah. And we don't want to turn this into a Diablo podcast, but we kind of do. No, it was, the launch happened, so I couldn't log in because all the servers were hammered. And there was jokes about Error 37 and among all of the other error
messages. I was writing haiku last night while I was waiting to get in.
Excellent haiku.
You know, it was one of these things where it's like, you know, should I read some of my...
Yes, they are quite beautiful.
I'll read some of my gorgeous Diablo queuing haiku.
Okay.
So I got a Diablo as life. The errors betray your fail. I click like a god.
Your fail.
If I say I'm in, will you hate me for my luck or my handsome?
Nice.
Or my handsome face, pardon me. Some waits can be fun. Cues are often quite happy, but this one is crap. Diablo, but... it lies. These error numbers can't be too many digits. Because one of the errors we were getting was 30,005 and 30,008. So anyway... if you want to read some terrible haikus about Diablo, you can go to my Twitter feed at Wes Wilson. But other than that, I like I said, I wanted to play Dwarves vs. Zombies, and I couldn't get in on that. And I wanted to play in your game that Falme made, and I couldn't get in on that. Yeah. So other than that...
There'll be some more.
Yep.
And we all get on Ventrilo. You know, we have a channel for red and channel for blue, so there's no crosstalk. And it's really cool.
Cool.
So... You know, one thing that I kind of wish that there was is some sort of way of sniping. I mean, it's not like you snipe in World of Warcraft when you're playing these kind of games, but for some reason, the landscape just makes me want to just pull a sniper rifle out and snipe somebody. I don't know why.
AK Spartan Killer's in the chat room. Hey, AK Spartan Killer, you should come to play on Con.
Yeah. So I guess that was Journeys, and... We'll move it along to this one.
You're even introducing the bumpers when you don't have to click them. That's terrible.
I know.
From the Minecraft Daily, news and updates.
All right.
Happy birthday, hey. Minecraft.
Yeah. Turned 3 years old.
Yeah. Yep, on May 13th, 2009, Notch linked a video of his cave game tech demo, and the rest was history. Since then, 5.9 million copies of Minecraft have been sold, and Notch has handed over the reins to Jeb and was never heard from again. Nice. Winky. There's a Winky from Astragali on that one.
Winky face.
Wink. So, yeah, happy birthday, Minecraft. That's amazing.
Yeah,
we're very proud to have been involved for at least 2.5 years of that.
Man.
Of that three.
Time's flying.
I know.
I think.
It's been quite a while.
Yeah. Either we've had a lot of fun over these last 2.5 years, or we're just old and time goes fast in general.
We're easily entertained by almost anything.
Pretty much. Pretty much. The next one here is Minecraft Xbox sells over 400,000 copies in the first 24 hours since its release. According to estimates, Minecraft Xbox sold over 400,000. Oh, yeah, I already said that. Since it was released on May 9th, which was not too long ago.
Yes.
That's very fast. And, of course, this does make it the fastest-selling XBLA game ever. And you could tell Daniel was very happy about that.
Yeah.
And so is everyone else. Additionally, the XBLA version has sold over 1 million copies.
That's crazy talk.
So it's just growing and growing. You know, I mean, there's a lot of PC gamers that are not switching, but you know, just getting it in addition, like Chimney Swift and a lot of people we've had on the show, a lot of big YouTubers and stuff. They're just doing version, you know, some recordings and Let's Plays of the Xbox version as well. Of course, there's a lot of people that are newcomers to it. You know, we haven't actually done, I don't know if we actually will do an Xbox, you know, LP or anything like that. Because, I mean, are there any adventure maps or anything?
I don't see it as being something that we would necessarily branch into.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's the PC version is still the pinnacle.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like
the pentacle.
Well, pinnacle.
The pentaco?
No, not pentacle. The pinnacle, okay. As in the peak, like the pinnacle of Everest. Like the Let's Play map, you should
like
go.
Like the peak of Mount Galel?
Yes, Mount Galel. The temple of peak pinnacle. I don't know. So, but yeah, I don't know. It seems like, you know.
I think it's more like it's accessibility too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, okay, say, you know, I play just for an example, I don't know, what's a new game? Diablo 3, okay? Yeah. So, like, I'm having a great time with Diablo 3 on the PC, and they start making it for Mac, and I know they probably already do. But then I want to check it out. So I check it out on the Mac, and I'm like, cool, you know, it's slightly different. And, you know, and it's like, well, it was on two platforms for accessibility.
Yeah.
I understand that the Xbox Live version is actually quite a bit different from the PC version, but it's also in a sense that it's a previous version. It's like an old, you know, like beta 1.8 or something like that version of the PC. Also, the interface is rearranged. The buttons are rearranged. So it is quite a bit different. So I could see going over there out of curiosity, but there's no sense in us to just, you know, put down our mouse and keyboard and just go over to the Xbox. Yeah. I mean, you know.
I think it's going to appeal a lot to the Xbox fans, but people who are PC gamers are still going to be satisfied with.
Yeah.
So.
The next one is.
So the world, this basically says Minecraft for Xbox has much smaller worlds than the PC. There's a video out that shows it's possible to walk from the center to the edge of the world in about 3 minutes. See, that's another thing. But anyway, I'll link the video in the show notes. Kind of interesting stuff. I mean, I can imagine it's very difficult to communicate all that information between Xbox stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
Got a new snapshot.
New snapshot. More farming.
Yep. Got cocoa beans in the jungle.
That's right. We had a caller on the Tobias show.
Yeah.
When we had Tobias Smallstone.
Yep.
And somebody really wanted cocoa beans.
Yep.
So, Jens and gang, they were all listening to our show live, having a great time. So old Jeb, he just kind of reached over and coded it up real quick during the show. and gave you what you want. So you know that if you call into the show and you want a feature, it may or may not actually. No, I'm lying. I don't know why you did that. Actually, that's kind of weird. But it looks cool. I mean, you can see them kind of hanging down from trees and stuff. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Oh, and Astrogali is pointing out that it's not that cocoa beans were added; it's that cocoa plants have been added.
Oh, right.
There's new foliage.
Are you talking about the things that dangle down from the trees? I mean, I've seen them. Is that the cocoa plants, the cocoa coconuts, cocoa beans,
coconuts,
Coco Loco? anyway.
Yes, he says. Those dangly things.
Okay.
So Mojang is crowdsourcing to try to make the new SSP like the old one. And they put a call out on Reddit. I'll put a link in the show notes for people to send in the differences between SMP and the 1.25 release and the 12W19A snapshot. So
Mergil Bunny in the chat room said, cuckoo for cocoa plants. All right. Cool. All right. So, and then, you know, we've gotten some questions about why are we not doing our snapshot Thursdays? And I think we are actually kind of talked about this last week, but I keep seeing a couple comments about it and stuff, and we'll get back into it here soon. We love doing those, and they're just
well. The key is I don't know if you've noticed this, but we're kind of sticklers. We try not to make a video just for the sake of making a video. We try to have some take on things that's different from other people, or at least you know. An attempt to be to put on a good show
and to entertain ourselves.
Yes,
if we're
not having fun making the video, it's not going to be a good video. So we just won't make it.
Yeah.
So like we come up with some ideas, and if we're able to come up with something creative, we're going to make a video. And for a while there was a neat chain of new AI kind of things that was going on.
Yeah.
So that's definitely more interesting to make videos of is AI, but like. You know, showing off a new plant, that's kind of hard for us to, you know.
Right, make an entire video of. But I tell you who does do snapshots every time and does a real good job is Bebop Vox, you know, who does Minecraft Mondays.
And Martin's still doing his too, right?
I think Martin actually missed a few.
Yeah.
But he was doing some excellent ones.
Yeah,
I really liked his. It's real nice and compact.
But there's a ton of them out there. Luckland does stuff.
Luckland.
Paul Soares always does stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's out there.
Captain Sparkles does in-depth reviews.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely out there. But yeah, we'll try, you know, if we get inspired somehow, you know, then we'll do them.
Yep. So, you are Minecraft is approaching the May 19th deadline. And they still want to have 100,000 avatars on there. So you should definitely go to You Are Minecraft and check it out. The plan that they have is to copy the server map onto a USB flash drive and implant it into an aluminum version of a Minecraft chest, and they want to personally deliver it.
Yeah, that's right. And they're asking for donations on the site to take them to Sweden to do that. Also, Notch has been on the site or in the server before. I don't know if he's made an avatar yet.
We're on there.
He might have. Yep, we're on there.
Did you make yours?
In fact, this week I finished mine.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I started it a couple weeks ago when we did our live stream with Bebop Vox and R. Smalek. That's on our channel if you missed it.
We're on row 42, right? Like if you're looking at the faces.
Oh, yeah.
We're on row 42 on the left side.
Well, you can do /home and then the person's name.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do /home, Wes Wilson, Brent Copeland, or Eric Fullerton. And
or Bebop Vox, R. Smalek.
Yeah. Or Notch, I guess.
Yeah.
Easy is on there, too. Anyway, so it's really cool. And you know, I didn't put a cape on mine because I wanted this little skull on my shirt to be seen.
Oh, I understand. So you could have done the front skull.
Oh, yeah. The front skull, like Punisher.
Yeah. But they're also, they do have a donation drive on their site. They're trying to raise about 1,500 euros so they can get flights and two nights hotel accommodation so that they can hand deliver their aluminum Minecraft chest full of everybody's faces.
That's cool.
Yep.
Very neat.
And then this last one's kind of cool. Andrew Buchanan has teamed up with Vex and Joe Hills to make a new map. It's accompanying her new ebook, Waking Up. And yeah.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? So that'll be the second one that Vex was commissioned.
Yep.
To do a map from a based on a novel.
Yep. It's
crazy.
So anyway, go check that out.
Yeah.
Listener contributions, dun dun. This is the part where we talk about the contributions from listeners. Listener contributions.
So this week we've got some YouTube comments in here. And I feel like this is actually kind of mean. And I think Astrogali did it on purpose. So the first YouTube comment is, oh, so that's what you guys look like. You're so old.
Yeah, this is us. This is our faces. I don't know what you expected. A couple of like babies or something?
I don't know. Well, I do sound so young and and charming.
Charming.
He does sound
charming.
And handsome. So, and Astrogali is claiming he didn't put these in here, but I don't believe him. So we got another comment from Total Wipeout Gaming that says, Brent looks like John Goodman in The Big Lebowski.
Oh, yeah.
Do you buy that? I'm not seeing that one.
I can see it sometimes, yes, a little bit, yeah. I can see that.
And then Mr. Jane Cobb said, Wes looks like Phil Jupitus. Now, we got this comment before. I'm not sure if it's from the same person, but I'm looking at the picture of Phil Jupitus, and he looks more like Brent, I think, than me.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if the person who said that thought that Wes was Brent or something.
Yes.
I don't know. And a lot of people say your name with a T at the end, like West versus East.
But I also think that that... Although Brent looks like Phil Jupitus, I think that the bags under Phil Jupitus' eyes match mine almost to the T. Like, I think he and I share...
bags. Bag share.
And then our last YouTube comment comes from a gamer of many games. It says, Eric, how do you edit so good? You are like the god of editing. Please share your secrets.
Ah.
And see, this is where I know that, you know, Astrogali's denying putting these in, but Brent does not want you to give away any of your secrets.
That's right.
And I didn't put this in here, did you?
No, I don't think I did that. No. Okay.
He's saying he put that one in.
Yeah. I have this little box that it's kind of similar to fairy dust, but it's not actually fairy dust. It's kind of this magic dust that I have that just makes the videos really awesome. I try to just sprinkle a tiny bit on each video, and it usually does a trick. So hopefully I still got a couple more decades left from the small amount of dust that I use. So that's really the secret.
Excavation Station.
So, our first that's my way of coming out of bumpers.
Oh, yeah.
So, this is from Omega Hybrid X, and this is actually a YouTube comment. It says, Dear People of the Shaft, I have an idea for the next excavation station. You know how they have, like, saddles so you can ride pigs? Well, I think it's rather useless since you can't even control the pigs when you're on them. So, my idea would be to either make it so you can control the pig or Notch could add horses to put the saddles on so you have a new way of transportation. That was my idea. I hope this gets read in the next Shaft podcast. And we've had horses before.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I do think maybe some small control over the pig would be a good idea.
Yeah, I think so.
Especially now that pigs are like since animals don't just spawn randomly.
Right,
you have to farm them.
Yeah, and I think that'd be cool. maybe it'll travel slightly faster than you can when you're on foot.
Yeah.
That way you could use that strategy for PvP and, you know, some games and stuff like that. And saddles are hard enough to find in the actual survival game that I think that that perk would be, you know, justified. And so I just don't understand why that would be such a big deal. Scotty said pig training. So, yeah, maybe some way to train the pig, too.
Yeah.
Maybe it's uncontrollable.
Do my bidding, pig.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's cool. I think that's totally awesome.
Next one is Jungle Ruins. Do you want to cover this one?
Jungle Ruins, submitted by MadMag101. Aztec or Mayan style ruins that generate in jungle biomes. Made of a new type of block, which looks like stone bricks, but more orange. Possibly guarded by jaguars and monkeys.
Yeah. I'm seeing Temple Run written all over this.
Oh, yeah.
But what would be also cool is, you know, you can run into, like, old mine shafts and things like that. What if these Aztec ruins had, like, I don't know, 15, 20 styles of traps that sometimes randomly appeared in them?
Oh.
How cool would that be?
That would be cool.
So you go in there, and sometimes sometimes like you put a torch down somewhere, and the light does the trigger thing, and it makes the roof fall on your head.
Oh yeah, nice.
How cool would that be?
Yeah, I like that.
Hester Gully says the downside of the orange blocks is they turn your fingers orange when you mine them.
Oh, like Cheetos?
Yes, nice. Exactly like Cheetos.
Excellent.
But yeah, I think it would be cool. Traps, Aztec ruins, pyramids, perhaps. Human sacrifice,
yeah.
Quetzalcoatl.
Mm-hmm. Malaria.
Next, we have sand and gravel hardening. So this would be a craftable splash potion that will harden gravel or sand so that it isn't affected by gravity. And this would be good for working in the desert. And we kind of talked a little bit about this, having the idea of sticky stuff. So mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't know. Some maybe. Good ideas there. I kind of like it.
Yeah. Let's see. More realism with silverfish.
Oh, and that was submitted by Temetis.
Temetis. More realism with silverfish submitted by Rotten 4. When a silverfish kills you, it should eat any books in your inventory, much like real silverfish. This will give balance to the addition of writable books.
Have you ever had any of your books eaten by silverfish?
No.
I haven't either.
I don't have any books, I guess.
Yeah. I've seen a silverfish in my house before, but I've never had them eaten.
Oh, maybe silverfish eat e-books.
Maybe they do. You never know.
Yeah. Huh.
So, I don't know.
So, speaking of ebooks, why don't we...
Oh, yeah!
Why don't we just cut in here and talk just for a second about good old Audible?
Exactly.
Huh?
Because you need to read as many books on Audible as you can before the silverfish eat them all.
Yes. It's too bad Brent's not here. He always has a book or two that he's listening to and that he can suggest.
Yeah.
It's great listening to audiobooks when you're driving. And see, I'm driving a lot less these days, so I'm not listening to a whole lot of books. But, you know, and people who work out at the gym, take walks, listen to ebooks. There's a ton of audiobooks to listen to.
Yeah.
And you can get a free trial and a free book that you can choose for yourself.
30-day free trial.
If you go to deadworkers.com, what am I saying? If you
go to audibletrial.com/theshaft.
That's right.
So we have a couple more excavation station ideas here. First is improve the super flat world. My idea, and this was submitted by Ethel, is there would be another type of mat that is super flat, but higher than just 5 blocks from bedrock, so that when you're making an adventure map, you don't have to worry about slimes being everywhere and all the little sparklies from being around bedrock and all that. Yeah, I agree. There should be a super flat that is above the bottom. I agree.
Yeah.
100% yes.
Yeah, that does sound good. That totally makes sense.
And then our last one. You should answer this one.
Oh, okay.
Space bacon.
Like the little dramatic pause in the middle of that one?
Yes.
Space bacon. Coolest idea ever.
Yep.
Submitted by Ian22042. Flying farting pigs would drop space bacon. This has to be good.
Sadly, it would only be a dream.
Yes. And you woke up.
Sightings.
It's so beautiful.
Oh my god. It's so intense.
Okay. Sightings.
Sightings.
Okay. First, we have a video. And this is from Hosh Josh. And he did a new song called Bone Meal for My Crops to Grow. And sang it with Luscious Lisa. And so, nice. Yeah.
Bone meals for my crop to grow. Yeah, good old Hodge Josh is back again. I hadn't heard any good tunes from him in a long time. That's awesome. Excellent.
And then our very own Lydia Winters, Minecraft chick.
Yeah, she did one too.
Yep. Lyrics written by Astragali. Did a parody of Gotye's Somebody That I Used to Know. And this is called Somebody That I Want to Bite.
Yes, yeah. And Vu Bui sang some vocals in there, and I didn't know he could sing. He sang very well. But I thought Lydia has a very awesome voice, and really cool that it was written by Astragali. This is like... But, you know, she had been talking about making a music video months ago, so I was just curious this whole time, like, what's going to come out?
What's it going to be?
But, yeah. And that song, man, it gets stuck in your head. I mean, you know?
Yes.
Once you hear it.
Yeah, it gets wedged in there and it can't get out.
And last here is...
Oh, this is called Humiliation. And this is... It's a dubstep song for Notch. And this is... When Team Avolition lost the Quake match against Mojang, their forfeit was to create a dubstep song. And here it is. So nice. There you go. We will provide you the link to that in the show notes. And yeah.
And yeah.
I think that's about it for our show.
Yeah.
I think we're done. I think we did all that we can do here.
Yes.
We don't have any housekeeping.
No.
We don't have any shout outs except for the whole chat room. Because you guys are super cool showing up at noon on a Tuesday.
Yeah, it's been a weird little day. And of course, we had a lot of questions about when's the Shaft coming out? Why'd you miss Monday? Well, we didn't record last week because of, you know, Mother's Day.
Yeah,
we're hanging out with our moms. You should have been hanging out with your mom too.
Yeah,
unless you and your mom hang out and listen to the Shaft podcast. Sorry about that.
That would have been doubly cool.
but this is this week's show. We will still do a show next week. From what I understand, on time, right?
Yeah. Well,
you know, we just have to reschedule sometimes when we have people from Sweden.
Yep.
And
I'm not going to be there though.
Oh yeah,
I'm going to be in Disney.
Oh okay. So it might just be me and Brent on that
it
one
is,
then.
Indeed.
So and
probably
then,
for the next 2 weeks.
Really?
Yep.
Oh yeah. So yeah. So we're all over the place.
I might be able to call in for one of them.
That's true.
We'll see.
Skype in from the Magic
from the
Kingdom.
Magic Kingdom. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Going down, taking my 3-year-old and my 5-year-old.
Nice.
It's gonna be exciting.
Man, I wanna go.
I bet you do. It's the happiest place on earth.
Yeah. Huh. Well, and now I guess we'll leave, and this will become the saddest place on earth.
I know.
Because the show is over. But Daniel Kaplan was awesome to join us.
Yep.
And talk to us. He's
and evidently,
a cool guy.
He's a 10 on the awesome scale.
That's right, yes. And he can grow a beard in one day. Pretty excellent. So go and go forth and dig...
Dig holes.
Dig holes. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter, The Shaft Podcast. You can call us and leave voicemail. Leave like, stupid stuff if you want to. I don't care. It doesn't even have to be a question.
Yeah.
If it's just something weird, I'll just throw it at the end of the yep. episodes, just as something weird and extra.
Sing us your parody of Somebody That I Used to Know.
Yes, yes. Sing a song. Who cares? Who knows? You know, just surprise us. Or, of course, if you do have a question or a excavation station submission, you can call us at 256-812-1010. Or you can just email it to us, too, if that's easier for you, like to make an MP3 or an audio file and send it to us. You can send that to... Wow, our email address is not on this document, and I forgot what it was.
It's
theshaft@deadworkers.com.
Yeah. And by the way, for those listening to the audio version of this, we do record this live, and we usually are broadcasting every week on Sundays at 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Pardon me, no, not 5, 3. Oh. We're usually at 3, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, yeah, we are. Yeah,
we
used to be
at 3.
Yeah.
Central Standard Time. And we put all these episodes on YouTube. So if you want to see the guests, you want to see Daniel Kaplan's 10 awesome face, you should get on YouTube and watch the videos.
Awesome face.
Yeah.
All right. So, again, go forth and dig. And dig on. Bye-bye.
Congratulations, you made it through The Shaft alive. See show notes and leave comments for this episode at theshaft.deadworkers.com. Send questions, comments, and audio to theshaft@deadworkers.com or leave us a voicemail at 256-812-1010.
Shaft.
Dead Workers Party Network. Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's The Shaft.